Well, good morning and a happy Christmas to you all. May my words and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable to you, our God and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I'm sure that you know that gospel passage pretty well. You've probably heard it many times, here at St. Mary's, or reading it in a Bible, at school, and so on. Well, this morning, I would like to give you someone else's version of the greatest story ever told. And who might that be, I wonder? Well, to set your minds at rest, it isn't the donkey on this occasion. So, who might I be? Well, if I can just get this halo sorted out. I mean, I'm still learning. I'm not very good at it yet. But hopefully, it's lit up now. So, who am I? Well, if I told you my name, it probably wouldn't mean anything to you. And if I showed you a picture of me, I doubt you would recognise me. The best I can say is that if you saw a photograph of the heavenly host mentioned in the gospel story, should such a thing exist, I am second from the right, in the third row from the front. What I'd like to give you is a junior angel's view of the birth of the Saviour, the son of the boss, the son of God. So, where to begin? Well, I suppose it all began with a visit of one of my immediate bosses to a very ordinary young woman. Well, to be more strictly accurate, to a rather pretty young woman. Her name was Mary, and my senior angel, we call them archangels, Gabriel, was commissioned to go and give her a very important message. How do I know all this? Well, we members of the heavenly host have a pretty good view of everything that happens on earth, although I must admit that we do find it fairly perplexing at times. You humans really are peculiar creatures. Anyway, Gabriel went off to tell Mary that she was going to have a baby. And not just any baby, but the most special baby, the Son of God. You should have seen the look on Mary's face when Gabriel had finished giving her the message. But enough of that. You know that bit already. So, Mary was engaged to a chap called Joseph when she got the news. He was a bit older than her, but a decent chap. And he stood by her and married her anyway, despite the little surprise package that was on the way. Although an instruction for one of us angels might have had something to do with it. And so we find them setting off for a town called Bethlehem. Now, as some of you ladies will know, being 9 months pregnant is not exactly the best time to be setting off on a journey. But Mary and Joseph had no choice. A very, very important man called the Emperor Augustus had decided to hold a census. I had to ask some of the older members of the heavenly host what a census was, because we angels don't have such things. A roll call is enough for us. Anyway, I found out that a census is when people are counted. I still don't really get why they need to, because God knows exactly how many people there are. I mean, let's face it, if he knows every sparrow and they are sold at 5 for 2 pennies, and you are much more valuable to him than sparrows are, he is certainly going to know about all of you. But human beings seem to be besotted with counting things. And if the emperor said, go and be counted, well then, you toddled off to be counted, pretty promptly because you didn't want to risk the consequences of not going. So there were Mary and Joseph plodding off on their way to Bethlehem. Fortunately, they'd managed to borrow a donkey, because I don't think Mary would have managed the journey any other way. Apparently, it's just under 80 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem, as the crow flies. And why did they have to go to Bethlehem to be counted? Couldn't they have been counted in Nazareth? Much easier. I had to ask about that too. I was told it was where Joseph's family came from originally. And so that was where they had to be counted. Honestly, I mean, talk about making life difficult. Just be grateful that those census things don't work like that today. Can you imagine the chaos if everybody tried to get back to where their family originally came from to be counted? The traffic jams would be indescribable. Poor Mary and Joseph, though. It would have been a hard and dusty journey. At least I didn't see a sandstorm while they were travelling. But I would have liked to have been able to do something to help them. Under normal conditions, I have seen people make a similar length journey in about 4 days. But as I watched them plodding along, they seemed to get slower and slower. And so, of course, by the time they got to Bethlehem, all the rooms had already been taken by other people who'd come to be counted. I never did get to see the people getting counted because our story moves on. But I do wonder how they did it and what happens if they counted it wrongly. Up here, you get a gentle telling off and a request to do better. But I'm not sure that humans are quite as kindly as archangels. Well, they did get there eventually. But as I've already said, all the rooms available in Bethlehem had gone. I felt so sorry for them as they were turned away from door after door. Now, I do wonder if there was a bit of heavenly influence going on. But just when Mary looked as though she really, really couldn't go any further, and as though she was going to cry, the man who answered the last possible door in Bethlehem took pity on them. He didn't have any rooms left to offer, but he said they could share his stable with the animals whose home it was. Mary and Joseph were so grateful to have shelter. I'm sure no one would choose a stable as the ideal place to give birth, but at least it was warm and dry, and we, that's the heavenly host, made sure that the animals were friendly. In fact, we tipped them the wink that something really special was about to happen. And then it happened. The Son of God was born a human baby in a stable. Mary wound strips of cloth round her baby son. I'm not sure why, but she did. And then she put him in the stable manger because, well, I guess there was nowhere else to put him. But the story didn't end there. I have to admit that, in fact, I got into quite a lot of trouble because I was so fascinated by what was going on. I mean, how often do you see the Son of God born as a tiny human baby? I really just wanted to stay there looking at the most special baby there has ever been. He was so sweet. And his mum was so happy. Even Joseph seemed quite pleased. I was so fascinated, though, that I missed the call for the heavenly host completely. Gabriel had apparently sounded his trumpet, but I didn't hear a thing. Raphael had to come and get me, and boy, did he tell me off. He told me that he was very disappointed in me and that I really must do better if I was ever to become a full member of the heavenly host. I tried to explain, but he just got hold of the top of one of my wings and started pulling me along. Strange. thought he would have understood that seeing the Son of God as a tiny human baby was the most amazing thing ever. But looking back on that marvellous time, I must admit that Raphael did do the right thing, because otherwise I would have missed the most fantastic gig that the heavenly host has ever had or will ever have. Anyway, Raphael let go of my wing and launched me into the junior division of the heavenly host's practice room with the injunction to be where I was supposed to be in the future. I arrived just in time to hear the announcement that we were off on a job, and to report to the archangels, who were waiting in the clouds over a field near Bethlehem, where there was a flock of sheep, and to do it quietly. Fortunately, there weren't too many possible fields, and Gabriel's trumpet sticking out of the cloud was a bit of a giveaway. So we tiptoed into the cloud and took up our positions. Mine is second from the right in the third row from the front, if you remember. And we kept very quiet, awaiting the next instruction. It was so exciting and very hard to keep quiet. But then I find it very hard to keep quiet most of the times, to be honest. And then Gabriel stepped out from the cloud, and he was completely surrounded by the most amazing light. There were some men looking after the sheep, and when they saw Gabriel, they were absolutely terrified. I suppose they'd never really seen anything like it before. One of them was so scared that he fell flat on his face on the ground. And then Gabriel told them not to be afraid. I don't think the men got that, though. They were still shaking, and Gabriel had another go, and this is what he said. Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day, in the city of David, a Saviour who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. By now, the men were all on their knees, covering their eyes with their hands, because the light round Gabriel was so bright. And then, at last, it was our turn. The heavenly host was centre stage, so to speak. And we stood there, praising God at the top of our voices. And this is what we said. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace among those whom he favours. It was the most amazing thing I have ever done. 'Twas such a privilege, and I am so glad that Raphael dragged me to the practice room in time, even if it did take a while to get the feathers on the top of my wings straightened out. When we'd finished, the shepherds were still on their knees, but it was time for us to leave. They would know what they had to do next when it was time to do it. As for us, an excited set of junior members of the heavenly host were hurried away by our more senior colleagues. I still can't believe that I was actually there for the most amazing event of all time. I am one very lucky junior angel. I've enjoyed telling you my version of the greatest story ever told. After all, I was there. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to men on earth. Who can you share the message of Christmas with? A very blessed Christmas to you all.